Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench. Everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake. It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 central on CBS.
Monday, it's the CBS original comedy, The Neighborhood.
I need at least a month to prepare for a debate, not 6 hours.
Actually, it's 4 hours.
Now my watch is broken, too.
With Cedric the Entertainer, Max Greenfield, and guest star Wayne Brady.
You gotta fund the schools or graduate fools.
I stole all my lines.
Look, don't worry, I got a plan.
Okay, well, what is it?
Okay, so I don't have a plan.
A new episode of The Neighborhood.
You're gonna have to give them a show.
Monday, 8, 7 central on CBS.
Yeah, it's great that you're standing beside Michael Jordan, and that's a legendary picture, but you are a spitting image of an early Tom Cruise in this picture. Like a Risky Business era Tom Cruise.
Help me, Tom Cruise! Tom Cruise, use your witchcraft on me to get the fire off me!
Get ready for the fastest 2 hours on radio.
I feel the need for speed.
We plan to communicate this proactively in a culturally competent manner.
Time to play the game!
See, I told you this in the past, Bo Thompson. A kitchen table dialogue.
14 years as Charlotte Mayor.
I've taught you everything you know, but I haven't taught you everything I know.
4 years as NC Governor.
It's good to be with you on the Bo Thompson Show.
Now, you take that cheap shot. Do you have a name that we can call Bill Graham before we leave?
Yes, genius.
WBT presents.
Good morning, Pat. It is a beautiful day in Charlotte.
The Pat McCrory Show with Bo Thompson.
I just wanted to say how much I appreciate your show. I've been listening to it since it started. It's the best decision WBT ever made. You are freaking hilarious.
Culturally competent information through the lens of health equity.
Driven by Felix Sabatis, Mercedes-Benz of South Charlotte.
Well, two pieces of news. First of all, the official news, the virus has ended. I mean, right? The virus is gone. CNN doesn't have the total numbers on the screens anymore of 240, 50, 60,000 people dying. But the other big news is the Clemson-Notre Dame game has ended. It's officially ended. Overtime is over. So, Bo, I was at Lake Jimmy. I drove to Lake Jimmy to decompress.
Mm-hmm.
I had to talk to the real people. I actually went out on the water.
Swimming?
No, I didn't swim. I thought about it, but there was not much sun out.
Did you take the yacht out?
Took the yacht.
Yeah.
Took the yacht, 19-foot yacht out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't like to talk about my wealth and everything, so I don't want to say yacht. I want to say big yacht.
That's why I'm here. I'll talk about your yacht.
The biggest yacht.
Yes.
19-footer. And took it out.
Huge.
Came back in, and the Clemson-Notre Dame game was, I don't know, in its third hour in the first quarter of the game. And all of a sudden they say, we're about to go break to Joe Biden and Kamala Harris.
Yep.
Which looks like they're going to a drive-in movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
Brought back old memories of how I used to like to go to the drive-in theaters, which I won't get into detail about.
Probably a good idea.
Yeah. And so I'm going, oh, my gosh. They're going to cut into the Clemson-Notre Dame game. And they went, yeah, and you have to transfer over to USA Network.
Yep. Uh-huh.
So you were watching the same thing, right?
I was, yes.
So they cut into it, and I go, I got to watch it. But I kept going back and forth because Kamala Harris's speech went on for frickin' ever. You know, all the platitudes, she's the first this and the first. She's the first everything, I think.
You chose hope and unity, decency, science.
She's talking about herself.
And yes, truth.
I think that's piped in. It's like an NBA All-Star game, you know.
Joe Biden as the next president of the United States of America.
She was talking about herself.
And that little girl was me.
I mean, they must have had more descriptions of her in the first woman of color, the first Asian American, the first Indian, the first woman under whatever, 55, the first. I mean, everything was a first for Kamala Harris.
Have you ever seen
First from California?
Have you ever seen the Cars movies?
No.
So you don't have young kids. Yeah. I kept thinking it was the Cars movie because they're all blowing their horns in the
But
in
she
the
kept talking and I kept flipping back to the Notre Dame Clemson game,
mm-hmm,
right?
Right.
So then I go, is Biden on yet? So I cut it on to Biden and he's stumbling through the speech. I mean, he's literally, it's like he's slurring. And he's given platitudes of how he's going to bring the country
together. The people of this nation have spoken.
Yeah.
They've delivered us a clear victory.
Mm-hmm.
A convincing victory. A victory for we the people.
Gosh.
We've won with the most votes.
Determined.
Ever cast on presidential ticket in the history of the nation. Determined. 74 million.
All right. So he talked about how he won. Like over and over and over again. And then he talks about how now the times has stopped this rancor, you know, forgetting that he's the one who called the president a clown. And like he had nothing to do with any of the rancor. So he just kept going on and on and on. And then NBC had no commentary afterwards. Chuck Todd even didn't come and say anything, right?
So because they went back to the game.
They went back. They had the Clemson. They were in the fifth hour of the Clemson-Notre Dame game. So they went back, and so I didn't have to hear NBC.
You could have gone to MSNBC. I'm sure
I wouldn't do that. So, but I decided to go to CBS, Miss Nora O'Donnell and mm-hmm. Gail King.
Mm-hmm.
And I just flipped it over there because it was in one of the 13-minute commercial break timeouts of a college football game that we have today. And I have never seen two or three journalists who aren't supposed to be MSNBC or Fox commentators. These are supposedly journalists in Gail King and Nora O'Donnell and who's the other guy?
John Dickerson.
John Dickerson.
He did Face the Nation for a little while.
Yeah, he got fired.
Yeah.
So they let me this could be my last segment, but I hope to make it through the next segment before HR comes in. They were having political orgasms about Joe Biden's speech. Political.
And we have audio to prove it.
We have audio to prove it. And
come on, man.
We might make it into a future song.
Oh, boy.
If the format ever changes at a radio station, we might make this into a top 10. And I don't know what we're going to call this song. I don't know if it'll be allowed to be played during the day. But it's it's co-starring Gail King, Nora O'Donnell, and Scott Dickerson.
John Dickerson.
Whatever.
Yeah.
And Mandy Moore.
Okay. Bay, there's a story about her today, too, we got to talk about.
Oh, I can't wait. But you cannot miss this.
Back at it on a Monday here on the Pat McCrory Show.
So we're going to introduce, after watching CBS News summary of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris's speeches,
mm-hmm.
We're going to introduce a new single that's going to be played throughout the world, starring Nora O'Donnell,
John Dickerson, and Oprah's best friend, Gail King.
It's a trio. It's kind of like Dolly Parton and Emily Lou Harris and Linda Ronstadt.
Okay.
Or Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Yeah.
Or Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Mm-hmm.
Or McCrory, Thompson, and David from Asheville.
That's the one I was waiting for.
So this is the new single called Political O. You were so offended by the word I used before.
Well, you don't mean Oprah.
No, I don't mean Oprah, but you can define it any way you want. Political O by The threesome of...
By Dickerson, O'Donnell, and King.
Yes.
Right? Because this is...
CBS.
Those three, that trio, reacting to what they had just seen, which was Kamala Harris, Joe Biden.
Let's get the rhythm like we're at Studio 54.
And there you see the family of President-elect Joe Biden, his large family, along with the family of Kamala Harris, the vice president-elect, all gathered there on the stage celebrating with fireworks after what has been a week-long election after Election Day, waiting for the answer from many of these states. And Joe Biden giving what might be one of the best speeches of his lifetime, encapsulating the moment, I think, in the words, this is a time to heal in America.
Heal, baby.
And I think he's speaking literally about the coronavirus, saying that that will be his first act, but also politically speaking as well about healing the deep divisions in this country that exist.
Saying your opponents are not your enemies. We are all Americans. Let's give each other a chance and lower the temperature. I already like the tone he's setting, John, already.
and just adding, see each other again, listen to each other again.
Oh, John.
So it's not just words, but actually putting them into action. The speech really ranged. You had Langston Hughes referencing
Langston.
Eagle's wings. He quoted Mr. Theodore Parker with the bending of the moral universe, which Barack Obama used quite often, certainly Martin Luther King. It was this is what speech making sounds like. President Trump just hasn't spoken like this, hasn't chosen to, and this was a speech that seeks to use the words in the moment to bring the nation together and move it along. Words can't do everything in a presidency, but they can do a lot.
And to say that he wants to root out systemic racism. Do you know how long people have been waiting for someone in that position to say that? To acknowledge that
long
it exists,
time.
And then to acknowledge we want to do something about it.
Best speech ever.
Probably reflect on the sort of Modern Family looking group of people up there on stage. We saw Biden's son Hunter, who we have not seen in public at all.
We love Hunter.
Campaign, who's there
holding his new grandchild.
Hunter, yes.
The president-elect is holding.
Yes, and then he has now a total of 7 grandchildren: Natalie, Robert, Maisie, Finnegan, Naomi. Another child that was born to another woman with Hunter,
and then a stripper,
with his new wife,
a
Melissa.
Stripper.
Kamala Harris, those young children, one of
another
them is
woman.
Amara.
I mean, when you talk about, filling your cabinet with people that look like America, that's what that stage looks like right now. Look at the range of color, the range of age, male, female. It really is a beautiful sight to see them all there together. And I love when he said to Kamala Harris, you're now a Biden, like it or not. You're now a Biden for life, like it or not.
You get the feeling he would want to deputize the whole country into that, given what he really wants to do.
Racist, yeah.
Well, there is something that always strikes me about Joe Biden, given that he has had 47 years in public life and has been busy, is that he calls his children every single day. He calls most of his grandchildren single day.
Just to say hey.
Just to say hey.
Oh,
yeah,
cool.
I know you text with your kids every day and send pictures and stuff too.
Those of us with teenagers don't get a response.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, they're almost at the climax here.
There's something unique about really that diligence with which he loves and cares for his family. And it was really something actually that you heard now Vice President-elect Harris mention in her remarks about the decency that embodies Joe Biden. It's a word he used too.
We're almost in the cuddling stage.
They both had similar words that they used: decency, truth, healer, uniter.
Science.
Yes.
They both emphasize science, which I thought was interesting. Not to COVID.
It was a speech that was very true to Joe Biden.
Yes.
The reason it sounded so natural is because these are themes that he has sounded throughout his political career, including 36 years on Capitol Hill. He was always someone who was trying to make a deal, trying to reach out to the other side. In fact, some Democrats were frustrated with him when he was vice president because they felt he was too eager to reach out to the other side and make a deal. I was just reading a quote.
I think they're still talking now.
from a few years ago.
You
who
have
said,
a cigarette.
I don't always agree with him, but I do trust him.
I need
him
a cigarette.
Implicitly. He doesn't break his word. He doesn't waste time telling me why I'm wrong.
He doesn't break his word. He only plagiarizes speeches on his two other times he ran for president.
Oh, when Nancy wins.
The long game.
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. That might have been the peak. Wait a minute. They're now interrupting each other.
Here's another first in the Biden White House. Biden's dog, Major.
Oh, here we go. The dog jumps on the bed. It's a German Shepherd who jumped on the bed of the threesome of John Dickerson.
They have, yes.
Gail King.
Gail King.
Nora O'Donnell.
Nora O'Donnell. The dog has now broke up the threesome.
No malarkey. He threw a y'all in there as well.
You know, I found the phrase that I was looking for, Vice President-elect's phrase about Joe Biden. She said he is a man with a big heart who loves without abandon.
Yes.
And he certainly has done that with his family. And
a stripper.
Welcome back on a Monday. Pat McCrory Show continues. President Trump vowing to fight the election results that Biden and Harris celebrated on Saturday. And one thing we're getting word of is that President Trump intends to take his campaign back out on the road. He's going to go back out on the road and have rallies in support of this litigation process.
Well, I'm interested to see what the litigation is and the facts that he has behind. But as we can see, we're at a point where the media has basically declared Joe Biden the winner, and Joe Biden's taken advantage of going on stage and then being complimented, to put it mildly, by CBS, NBC, ABC, CNN, MSNBC, and even Fox. I mean, we just gave an example of how the CBS anchors just fell over backwards about a very average speech by Joe Biden and a very average speech by Kamala Harris, which was full of platitudes with no detail, absolutely no detail, regarding how they're going to deal with the virus, how they're going to deal with the Middle East, how they're going to deal with China, how they're going to deal with the economy, how they're going to deal with a divided Congress. They talked unity. They talked platitudes, which is good. So why is Donald Trump in this position? Why is he getting less votes? And I'm just telling you, I'm being frank with you right now. I've been in recounts. I've played the game. I've been played by the game. I know the game. Recounts don't work out in favor of a Republican, especially a Republican in a recount. With provisional ballots, and as I've said in the past, once the bad votes are in, if there are bad votes, the same votes will come back out in a recount. If anything was done improperly, it wasn't done at the elections board while counting the votes. That's not where it's done. It's done at the time you put the vote or the ballot into the box, before you put the ballot in the box. And I've talked about voter harvesting or ballot harvesting. If anything went wrong and was done illegal, it was ballot harvesting, like we had done by the Republicans right here in North Carolina. So why did he lose? Well, first of all, the first debate was disastrous for Donald Trump. It was bad for both of them, but it was even worse for Donald Trump when they just spent time interrupting each other and being rude to each other, and Trump, by the media slant, got most of the blame. I remember in the first 7 minutes of that debate, I had to walk out of the room because I was squirming so much about how uncomfortable I was going, this is it? This is a debate where a moderator was asking loaded questions and Biden and Trump were interrupting each other by name-calling? And second, the name-calling. People are turned off by name-calling. Some people like it. I don't like it, and I don't allow name-calling on the Pat McCrory Show. No name-calling allowed. You can call names to policy, but you can't call an individual name and call them out. You can't do it. It motivates the people who are already voting for you, but it goes negative against independents because people don't like to be called names in everyday life. Just like in second grade, you don't like to be called a name by the bully. Biden got away with calling the other side names. Trump does not get away with calling names because he was doing it from the very beginning in his first Republican debate 5 years ago. The virus is another reason. If there had not been a virus, now most people are saying Donald Trump probably would have won. If I would have had to give one recommendation to Donald Trump about the virus, it would have been allow the vice president to be in charge of the virus and get off the stage. If it goes bad, you can always replace the vice president. But the president had to get on stage with the vice president and then basically knock Pence off the stage. And he took full ownership for the virus. When he could have allowed the vice president, it was a great move to make Mike Pence ahead of the virus. And then he wouldn't let Mike Pence be ahead of the virus. And I think that was a mistake because the full ownership was on him then. And the media allowed that to happen. Another thing I think that hurt the president was he had too many family members in the administration. I felt this way when John Kennedy had Robert Kennedy as Attorney General. When you put your son-in-law in charge, all the other members of your team don't know how to react because you don't fire the son-in-law, but you can fire everyone else. And therefore, the meetings are weighted where the other members of the team are going, I'm not sure I can tell the president what he might need to hear. If you have a member of your family in the cabinet room discussing serious issues or in the Oval Office. And I think it was a mistake, especially young family members who didn't have the experience necessary. And the last thing is the Democrats wanted to make this election about Trump and not the issues because Trump wins on the issues. Trump wins on immigration. Trump wins on China. Trump wins on taxes, on public safety, on the economy. Democrats made this all about Donald Trump. And Donald Trump tried to defend himself as opposed to take the advantage of the issues that were on his side. And that's what worries me now about the future, is Donald Trump was right on 99% of the issues, except for the deficit. No one seems to give a darn about the deficit. So that's my quick assessment of where we are today, and we'll talk later on in the show about potential recounts, what will happen in Pennsylvania, Arizona, North Carolina, which is yet to be called, which is ridiculous.
This is the Pat McCrory Show with Bo Thompson on News Talk 1110, 99.3 WPT.
And the Panthers are in the red zone, trailing by nine. Everybody all wadded up. Nobody in the end zone. All the Chief defenders around the line of scrimmage. Quarterback drop, Bridgewater up the middle. He jumps over a Chief and scores, standing up at the S in Chiefs. Touchdown, Carolina.
That man wants to win. Fourth and 14, throwing his body in the air. Two more runs after that, willing his team down the field.
Jim Zocchi on the Panthers radio network yesterday, talking about one of the drives that almost got to the Panthers or got the Panthers to a huge win. In the end, they lose by two to the world champs in Kansas City, thanks to New Serum Brewing Company. Jim Zocchi now joins us on the Pat McCrory Show.
Jim, that was quite a game. I watched half of it on the radio, on the TV, and then the other half I listened to y'all coming back from Lake Jimmy. And boy, how close was that field goal at the end? Because I wasn't watching it on TV. Did it come anywhere close? 67-yarder?
Well, he had close to the leg strike. He missed it by about 30 yards. But it was windy. It was really like a 17-mile-an-hour wind gust at times out there yesterday. So from that distance, it's going to be difficult. Obviously, it was a long shot. But Joey Sly, the leg strength is impressive. But that's, you know, again, it's, you try to wind up and hit it that hard, you don't know where it's going to go at that point. But he gave it a shot.
It wasn't quite as close as the one from the week before. But
no, that was the within a half a yard on that 65-yarder. So his range is 64. We know that now.
That's right. But, I mean, really, we talked in the earlier show when Mick was with us, and we talked about, even though I know people say, oh, there's no such thing as a moral victory or moral, you know, but they did not win this game, but I think they proved to not just people around here, but people around the NFL that this team, A, is not going anywhere, and B, is going to be, I mean, you saw the future on display. That one particular drive, the second to the last drive, I mean, that was unbelievable.
It is, and yeah, I've seen since the game and heard conversations on, you know, TV and so forth and sports talk radio about victories. There's no moral victories. Right, there is no moral victory. But losing by 2 to Kansas City versus losing by 28 to Kansas City shows, I mean, the gap has to be narrowed. You're not going to go from a team that loses by 4 touchdowns to a team that starts going on a winning streak. So it shows you how close they are. And I think that's the positive aspect you take out of it. Like, yeah, they didn't win, but you can see, like, okay, it wouldn't be a huge leap to win some of these games because you see just they're a play or two away in a lot of instances.
Well, we've got to go on a winning streak because New Orleans is looks like the top of the crop after, I mean, they made Tom Brady look like a rookie, and their defense on Tampa Bay looked horrible. I mean, New Orleans just looks like a class above everyone else.
That was shocking, though, because Tampa Bay had been playing good football. We got Tampa Bay coming in this week. I never know if that's a good thing or a bad thing when a team gets routed like that. We're going to get, you know, the Tom Brady and Tampa Bay's full bounce back effort and attention this week, maybe on a higher alert than usual. So that's going to be a tough game, too. But, yeah, we got New Orleans again at the very end of the season, Tampa Bay this week. And even Atlanta won yesterday, and they're tied with us now with 3 wins in the division.
So I assume this coming week you've got a pass to Augusta to be one of the few media people who get to go to Augusta and watch the Masters in November.
I wish. You know, it's funny. It's my 8-year cycle. I went in 2004 to the Friday round, saw Arnold Palmer's final round, as it turned out. 2012, I was down there for the Thursday round. So this is 8 years later, 2020. This was about the year I was supposed to go. And, hey, Pat, the pimento cheese sandwiches, the egg salad sandwiches, just the
chicken sandwiches
in full bloom. Oh, the chicken sandwiches. Mm. I mean, it's almost like I can hear the music in my head as I speak to you about just what a – I mean, here it is. Pat, we're in April right now. It's spring outside, and I'm just really excited about the Masters being here, as it is every April like this.
Well, it's going to be interesting what the weather's like. It looks like it's not going to be cold, but it could be rainy.
Could be.
So, yeah, if we're getting the same weather here that they're getting, if they get what we are anticipating getting here, Wednesday, Thursday could be washout rounds. But we'll see. I know you've probably been down there, right, at some point through the years at Augusta?
I've been fortunate to go down there. It's unbelievable.
It really is an experience.
And the hills, you don't realize how hilly it is until you get there, and it's just gorgeous. But what's going to be interesting is this,
DeChambeau.
Is he going to make a mockery of the golf course with his 400-yard drives? Apparently, he played a practice round the other day and was hitting driver nine iron to the par fives, 15.
Remember where they had a Tiger proof it years ago?
Yeah.
So maybe we got a Bryson proof it or DeChambeau proof it now. Well, he's fun. He's a fun addition because he's a little edgy too, and I like that not everybody is so vanilla in terms of their attitude and demeanor. It's fun to have some personality in the game.
Well, the other players don't like him from what I understand. They just don't like the guy.
Yeah, because he wins and he beats them. Brooks Koepka's got the same
is?
Way. I think Brooks Koepka is one of the least liked guys on the tour now, too. It's funny. Those guys are two of the biggest winners right now.
And two of the biggest people. I mean, they're changing the sport by lifting weights and bulking up and kind of like I do. For the radio station.
That's right.
Proverbially. What's he laughing for?
It's how you carry the show. It's how you physically carry the radio show.
I've determined just to keep up with Bo Thompson, the hardest working guy in radio. I've got to be determined to get in shape, and I'm up to 350 now, all muscle.
We're not laughing at you. We're laughing with you.
We're actually laughing near you.
Hey, you know, here's something to think about.
Yeah.
The next two majors will be at the same place. Because
That's
of
right,
the timing.
April.
Of this. Because it'll be the Masters this year and then the Masters next year.
You're one of the deepest thinkers I've ever been around.
I know.
Bo Thompson.
Look at Bo already thinking about
He's not just the hardest working guy in radio, he's the deepest thinker in radio.
We haven't even started this Masters. He's already thinking about next year's Masters. And the kid Ortiz, who won the Houston Open yesterday, you know, you always get the automatic pass to the Masters. Well, it's not for this week, it's for next April that he gets the automatic.
Who was the guy that 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago won at that real fancy golf course that Wayne Gretzky's in-laws live at? The Heritage? No. Anyway, that guy was in Charlotte the other day. I met him at a restaurant, and he just won his first tournament, and he was talking about how he's going to be playing going to Augusta for the first time. He's been on the tour for 10 years, and I didn't know his name. And Tiger Woods came up to him in Las Vegas the next week at the checkout counter. Tiger Woods just happened to be at the hotel, too, and Tiger Woods turned to him and said, "It's about time."
I think that's the ultimate
thanks,
compliment.
Tiger. Yeah, thanks, Tiger.
That's cool.
Azoki, allow me to change the music.
That's me playing piano.
That's right. That's right. Thanks to New Serum Brewing Company. Zoki, thank you.
All right. Have a great day.
You too. Panther Talk tonight at 6 o'clock here on WBT. And the Pat McCrory Show, hour number two, is next. Hour number two of the Pat McCrory Show on this Monday, November 9th.
The virus is over. The day, the weekend after the elections were called for Joe Biden, they have found apparently a cure for this virus, and the stock market is reacting. Stock market hasn't opened, but futures are up 1,600 points.
Pfizer has announced this morning that early data shows that its vaccine is 90% effective against COVID-19, and they are on track for a regulatory review later this month.
So they didn't know this 2 weeks ago. Really? Really, they didn't know this 2 weeks ago. Trump kept saying it.
Dow futures up 1727 right
so
now.
So Pfizer points. Did not know 2 weeks ago that the data was looking pretty good. And then it was at one of these dates that we had to wait until 2 weeks after the election to announce that these long-term trials were quite successful. Did the data just happen now?
Science.
Were they looking at the data? I mean, a lot of people predicted this, that as soon as the election's over, the virus disappears and CNN will quit talking about it. And it looks like the virus is disappearing because Pfizer just announced their studies. And 60 Minutes, go ahead.
No, it's okay.
60 Minutes did a story last night, the first positive story of things the Trump administration is doing. They had a general on 60 Minutes last night talking about all the great work they've been doing for the past 8 months regarding the virus and working on a medicine that can help stop this virus from spreading and preventing people from getting it. That was on 60 Minutes last night, a week after the election was over. Do you think that was coincidental where the producer went, why don't we hold that story till next week?
We're going to need something next week.
We're going to need something next week. So last week, 60 Minutes did stories on Trump and how bad he was. This week, they're doing stories on how a general that Hunt and the Pentagon put in charge of the virus is doing a great job. And then CBS News is still introducing, there's Hunter Biden on the stage with his grandchildren. And another child, and which is from another mother. And they just go, okay.
Some other headlines today. Mm-hmm. Joe Biden is expected to announce his coronavirus task force, his version, later today.
And they're going to guess what they're going to announce?
What's that?
Pfizer has just come out with a virus. They're going to announce that today. Look how good a job this task force has already done. We have found a...
Vaccine
for this virus.
He also is expected to start announcing possible candidates for his cabinet. And name...
You're trying to get to me now.
Well, I saw this over the weekend, and I knew this would be a topic today when we got into headlines. Mm-hmm. But according to Politico, one of the candidates for National HHS Secretary is the current North Carolina HHS Secretary.
Mandy Moore.
Mandy Cohen. Now,
hang in there.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Governor. I'm so appreciative of your steadfast leadership and your commitment to science and data-driven decision-making. So let's dive right into the data.
That's what we're going to have at the national level. And all of a sudden, come January the 20th, the data is going to start looking better. And if you notice in North Carolina now, the data is... It's the worst it's been for 6 months, but have you noticed the governor is doing nothing about it? He sent a letter a week before the election to all the counties saying, hey, after the election, will y'all kind of close things down again? I'm not going to be the one to do it, but I want you to do it. And the counties went, no, we're not going to do that. So you can look at the data all you want, but we're not going to shut down the economy. And right now the economy, the stock market is booming because I guarantee you right now the airline stocks are jumping. The Carnival Cruise Lines, if you would have bought that, you'd be making a lot of money right now. I guarantee it. Well, I don't guarantee it because on the radio you can't guarantee things regarding the stock market, but I would anticipate people in the travel and tourism industry whose stocks are just getting killed in hotels, Hilton, Marriott, and things of that nature, they're feeling pretty good right now. They see a bright light down the road. And it's all because of Kamala Harris and Joe Biden. And they're going to announce today, not only have they found the solution to this evil virus, but they're going to be responsible for the stock market going up.
Which, again, if you're just joining us, Dow Futures up 6%. 6% right now, 1,693 points up. And, of course, the market opens in about 17 minutes or so.
And a new committee. And Mandy Moore.
Mandy Cohen is apparently on the short list, if you believe what Politico is reporting here, for a member of President Biden, President-elect Biden's cabinet.
And the Charlotte Observer just came out with an editorial saying that Roy Cooper's a moderate. That's news to the North Carolina legislature. No, he moderates what he says and does. That's the only thing Roy Cooper is a moderate about. He just because you don't say anything and you hide doesn't mean you're a moderate. But since the Charlotte Observer said that about Roy Cooper, he's a moderate, he must be a moderate. And if CBS Gayle King and Norah O'Donnell says that was the best speech that Joe Biden's ever given, it must be the best speech that Joe Biden's ever given. And if it is the best speech Joe Biden has ever given, then Joe Biden hasn't given very many good speeches.
Oh, when Nancy wins.
It's in the long game.
Yeah.
In the book. I
was going to say, John, how did you know that?
Oh. 914.
Unbelievable how far in the tank the national media and the state media and the local media are in the Democratic Party. It's like they have a cubicle. The Democratic Party has a cubicle in every newsroom in the United States of America. And they, you know how you used to have a cubicle before you had your palatial offices here? You know, you'd hand notes over on the other side of the cubicle to the person. That's what they do. That's what the Democratic Party does. They just hand the note over to the reporter. And they go, thank you very much, sir. Can I have another?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my cubicle is in the McCrory wing.
Oh!
921 on News Talk 1110 WBT.
The people of this nation have spoken. They've delivered us a clear victory. A convincing victory, a victory for we the people. We've won with the most votes ever cast on a presidential ticket in the history of the nation. 74 million.
That was on Saturday night in Wilmington, Delaware.
So what did Joe Biden do right to win this election? Well, let me tell you four or five things based upon my experience. How Joe Biden won this election. And I hate to even say it, but it's the fact. I mean, there's a 99.9% chance Joe Biden is going to be president of the United States. I look forward to hearing what the president's legal team is going to say today, apparently, about some of their legal challenges. But the odds are working against us. In fact, I don't even know if the Supreme Court would go for anything at this point in time, since even the narrative has been set that Joe Biden is the president-elect. Oh. So what did he do? First thing he did correctly in both the primary and the general election, he said nothing and he did nothing. Very similar to Roy Cooper. He said nothing. In fact, when any reporter would even do a follow-up question, can you give us more details? He'd go, the details are on my website, joebiden@joebiden.com. I went to the website and there was nothing on the website. Except for goals and aspiration, there were no detailed plans on his energy plan or his Green New Deal or his health care plan. There are no details on his website. And, of course, the media never looked it up. The only thing you get on his website or see easily was buying T-shirts or cups or bumper stickers or signs. That's what you get off his website. It's a great political technique. Well, I've got my details on my website, and I've clearly outlined my details. By the way, his plan for the virus was to develop a plan. Is that not great? So tell us your plan for the virus. I will have a plan for the virus. That's my plan. And the media goes, thank you very much. Thank you very much. The second thing he did was hide. He hid almost 90% of the time in both the primary and the general election. And there was a reason he hid. In the Democratic primary debates, he did terrible. And in the Republican or in the general election debate, he did terrible. He only had two debates. And when he gave speeches, he did extremely, they were scripted and they were short. He hid, like our current governor, Roy Cooper. The third thing he did extremely well, he drew empathy. He reminded us over and over and over and over again of the tragedy that his family has gone through with his son dying of cancer, his first wife getting killed in a car wreck, along with a child. He told that story a lot. Sadly, it almost sounded like he was using it as a political point. Because if you repeat something so often about tragedy, are you using that to gain votes and empathy? And not only did he bring it up often, but the media brought it up often, and his surrogates brought it up often. Joe Biden's gone through tragedy. He'll be more empathetic to our needs in America. Another thing he did well, and this is probably the number one thing he did the best, he had surrogates, primarily from the Obama administration, start 3 months ago. The former attorney general under Obama go out and say, due to the virus, we need to expand mail-in voting. And the mail-in voting was a major advantage for the Democrats. And it allowed them, and maybe we'll find that out this week, voter harvesting or ballot harvesting. It allowed the unions to collect votes. It allowed the teachers to collect votes. It allowed community activists to collect votes and do the mailing, which is illegal in most states, but legal in a few, including Nevada, which was crucial for this president's election. And the courts allowed him to do it. We lost in the courts. And I don't think we had good lawyers fighting the mail-in ballots. And frankly, we had, instead of lawyers defending and explaining how dangerous mail-in ballots can be, now, I'm not talking about absentee ballots, which the media would confuse the two. I'm talking about mail-in. Just give everyone a ballot. Trump tried to explain it. President Trump tried to explain it. And he wasn't an effective communicator on this issue because he doesn't know this issue well. I know it. I used to have conversations with him when I ran in 16 about what's an unaffiliated voter. He didn't know. And the last thing Joe Biden did extremely well, very similar to our current governor, he wore a mask. He says, I'm more qualified to be president of the United States because I wear a mask. I even wear a mask when I'm 300 yards from someone because I'm responsible. And the mask fits me extremely well. And then when I stuff my mask in my pocket so I can say my 5-minute speech, I'll then take the mask back off, on, put it back on, and I'll have my wife come up and put on her mask and hug me, even though they're 300 yards from anybody. In fact, even at the victory party celebration the other night, Jill Biden came up with a mask on while he didn't have a mask on. And the CBS reporters went, oh, isn't that great that she's wearing a mask? And I know Joe doesn't have a mask, but that's okay. They're married. And then Hunter's children would come up. And one of the children, we don't know who the mother is, but it's a stripper.
Oh!
The mask. the biggest qualification to be governor and president of the United States is to wear your mask. And have you ever noticed the reporters? Sometimes they wear masks when they're talking to us, and other times they're not. I've never figured that out. What are the rules of wearing masks when you're talking to a camera? Have you noticed that?
Mm-hmm.
Take off your mask so I can see your...
Yes, I've noticed it.
9:34 on WBT. The Dow is off and running in positive territory, up 5.23% as I speak right now, as the futures indicated it would be.
Pfizer just announced the weekend after President-elect Biden was named President-elect by the media.
The day he's supposed to announce his new task force.
Pfizer all of a sudden said, hey, our trial study just happened to finish after the election.
And is 90% effective.
So I just got a note from a good friend of mine saying, are you okay with Biden stealing this election? Biden stole this election. Are you okay with it? Yeah, I don't know how to respond to it. I'm still recovering from my election from 4 years ago. Am I okay with it? No. See, only Democrats complain about fraud. Stacey Abrams is now being credited with winning Georgia because, you know, Stacey Abrams can still not concede in Georgia and be praised for it by Nora O'Donnell and Gail King and John
Dickerson.
There's just a double standard. Am I okay with it? No. Do I think we could have done things differently in my campaign 4 years ago to try to overcome that? Yeah. And do I think Trump could have done some things differently, especially with his lawyers, in having these mail-in ballots pass every test to just mail it to everybody? Yeah, I think that's where I think he lost the election was 2 months ago. And they almost lost it right here in North Carolina. They almost took Tom Tillis' seat by, we have an attorney general right now, who Stein, who's won by less than 1%. Stein has yet to release emails in which he made a deal with the top Democratic lawyer in the United States, in which they changed the election rules of when they would count ballots in North Carolina. It didn't work in North Carolina. Thank God. Because that may mean the control of the Senate. But I'll tell you where these court cases may make a difference, whether Trump wins in the court or not, which is unlikely, unless they come up with new information. They apparently they have certain affidavits saying from post office workers saying they may have done things improperly. I look forward to hearing it today.
What do you think of this notion of Trump going back on the road campaign style in support of these investigations?
Get the facts out.
Yeah.
Campaign style isn't going to win the election now. It's all about what the courts will say, and you better have some facts. In Pennsylvania, you're going to have to have facts for Georgia, Pennsylvania, Arizona, Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
Well, North Carolina, you don't have to worry about. He won in North Carolina.
But those states you just mentioned, the word is that President Trump is getting set to go back out on the road and hold campaign-style rallies in those battleground states that he hopes will revisit the results.
I'll tell you, the biggest question is going to be in Georgia. You've got two Senate races, which will determine the majority of the Senate. It'll either be Republicans up by 3 or 4, or it's a tie vote, and Kamala Harris will be the breaker of the ties, therefore Chuck Schumer will be Senate Majority Leader. And Chuck Schumer went on record yesterday, he said, elect the Democrats and we will change the world. That will be a Republican commercial in Georgia coming up.
So here's a question for you relating to that. So those elections are going to be on January 5th. That's,
yeah.
That's before the inauguration, before it.
Yeah.
So do you have Biden and Trump going on the road for these candidates?
That is a great... Will the candidates want Biden Trump? Both? Will they want the candidates?
Will Biden and Trump be willing to go campaign for, and will in turn those candidates want that?
I was caught in that problem after I won the Republican primary. All my years are confused. I think in 08, I got a call from President Bush when his approval rating was 30%. Oh, great. I will come up and do a rally for you and do a fundraiser for you. And I'm going, I'm so appreciative of that, when my campaign advisors are going, No. No, he's 30% approval rating right now. Obama's ahead. You know, those are big decisions by the candidates. So it's going to be interesting what role Trump plays in the Georgia election. Because for the suburbs of Atlanta, it may hurt the senator. For the rural areas, it may help get out the vote. Because one thing Donald Trump and Barack Obama can both do is get out the vote. But they can, both Obama and Trump could never get out the vote when their name was not on the ballot. So in Georgia, you may have some Trump fans that don't vote because Trump's not on the ballot. And you probably will have some African-American voters that don't turn out also. So it's going to be a more traditional get-out-the-vote effort in Atlanta and the surrounding suburbs and in the rural areas. The money being spent in Atlanta and the Macon, Georgia, and Hilton Head and all that, not Hilton Head, but Savannah and so forth, is going to be in the, it'll be the most expensive 2 months in politics for those two Senate races. The money from out of Georgia will be 95% money out of Georgia coming in to have an impact on that election. It's going to be brutal. I wish I owned I wish I owned a TV station or a radio station in Georgia. You're going to be doing extremely well. So that's a great question, Bo, is will Donald Trump come back to Georgia and will the two candidates want Donald Trump to come back? And the same thing for the Democratic candidates, will they want Joe Biden to come to Georgia?
And will Donald Trump be motivated to go do that if the writing on the wall by that time looks like that it's not going to end with him back in the White House? Lots of questions.
Lots of questions. And that's the stock market is hoping for a divided Congress. They do not want the Democrats to control the House, the Senate, and the executive branch. If they do that, you'll see the 1,500 points that's going up right now, which is absolutely incredible because of the virus we just found out about. I mean, this is unbelievable that the drug company announces on the Monday, a week after the election, that the trials are now over. The trials are showing great results. Trump was trying to say that before the election, and he got no backup.
If you're just joining
Pfizer.
Us, within the last about an hour and a half ago or so, it was announced that drug maker Pfizer, according to early data, now it shows that its vaccine is 90% effective against COVID-19, and now they're on track for a regulatory review later this month.
Can you see the executive suites 2 weeks ago at Pfizer? They're having meetings right now, and they're hearing from their scientists, and they're going, it's looking pretty good. What should we say? And they're having a debate among their executives. I'm telling you right now, I know I've been in the corporate suites. They're going, boy, I don't know. If we announce it, we'll be accused of influencing the campaign and, you know, the Biden and the Democrats, if they then win the Senate, they're going to probably cut us off at the knees. And but if we don't announce it, then if Trump wins, he's going to be mad at us. And so they made the decision to stay quiet. I mean, it's not coincidental that Pfizer made the announcement a week after. The trials happen to end a week after the elections. That doesn't happen by accident. It's kind of like Governor Cooper announcing 7% stadium capacity. And you'd go, well, why not 15%? It's 7%. There's no logic behind it.
Science.
And all of a sudden, 60 Minutes producer decides to do a favorable study on the virus a week after the election. They could have done that a week ago. Instead, they did three negative Trump stories on 60 Minutes the Sunday before the Tuesday. And by the way, the other 60-minute story last night was there is no fraud. And they interviewed the lone Republican on the Pennsylvania Elections Board by going, I'm offended by that. We did everything right. The point they're missing, again, the word ballot harvesting was never mentioned in the story. They think if fraud occurs, it's going to occur in the counting of the ballots. I've been saying for 5 months on this show, once the votes are in, the fraud does not occur in the counting of the ballots. It's occurred before the mailbox, not after the mailbox. By the way, have you heard any criticism of the post office this week? Remember 3 weeks ago, Louis DeJoy, my good friend from Greensboro, was going to, you know, derail the election because the post office was going to not send in ballots? You're not hearing any complaints from Biden about Louis DeJoy in the post office anymore. That was before the election. After the election, I guess the post office did a good job. This doesn't happen by accident. It's a game.
This is the Pat McCrory Show with Bo Thompson on News Talk 1110-993 WPT.
This episode of The Big Finish is filmed in front of a live studio audience. Brought to you by Rug Source. This is a history-making Big Finish. This is the first time we've ever done this live.
It's officially really our three-year anniversary.
Last week, yeah.
Last week, three-year anniversary. I've never taken live calls. Don't plan to after today again. But our phone system's messed up here for the recording.
You're not showing much.
So there's a rule here. Concise, no name-calling, no cussing. What other rule?
Yeah, say what line it is.
We want you to be bright.
I'll give
you. But short and concise, or I'm going to have to cut you off because we want to get in as many as possible in the remaining minutes. On The Big Finish, sponsored by
Rug Source.
Rug Source.
All right.
Thank
First up here on the live Big Finish, history in the making here, Douglas. Welcome to the Pat McCrory Show.
Line one.
Good morning, Pat. Bo, happy anniversary. Love the show. Just want to armchair quarterback real quick for the loss. An energized vote is no different than an indifferent vote. Just like the Saints beat the Pats last night, a loss is a loss now in the column, whether it was a big score or lost by one. I think Trump spent a little too much time trying to over-energize an already energized base. He should have reached out for more undecided.
See, Doug, wow. you said they beat the Pats last night. They beat the Bucks.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That was Tom Brady, yeah.
They beat
That's
Brady.
A great, hey, you're either in the ropes or you're out of the ropes. Great call, right. Man. Great call. Thanks right. for listening.
Douglas, thank you very much. Let's go to line two, and Mike is in Charlotte. Welcome to the Big Finish. Hello, Mike.
Yes, hi. Mayor Pat, I'm wondering if you know whatever happened to the $725 billion that the Democrats took from the Medicare Trust Fund to support Obamacare.
I do not know. Good question. We'll check into that.
Line three, we go to Joe in York. Joe, welcome to the Big Finish.
Thank you very much. There was Michelle Obama at the Democrat convention announced that if you don't defeat Trump, then you haven't seen anything like the riots are going to be. And anyway, after that, there was a black man wearing a Trump hat in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Bernell Trammell, the very religious man, who was murdered on the streets of Milwaukee. And the Milwaukee police are not interested in investigating the police. Now, that has been announced by the press day after day, like George.
Yep. All right.
All right, thank you,
we
Joe.
Got, that's good. By the way, I've said this 3 weeks ago, Republicans don't riot. there was no need to board up the streets if Biden wins because Republicans don't riot. They obey the law.
Let's go to line four. Stan is in Charlotte. Welcome to the Big Finish.
Pat, I wanted to know your thoughts about the 100,000 votes that mysteriously appeared in your election, or supposed election, loss to Roy Cooper. I've never heard your thoughts on that.
I'll do that at a later point.
Right.
I'll never know. But I'll talk about that in future weeks. I'm not pulling a Stacey Abrams. That's what I don't want to pull a Stacey Abrams because I don't know. But it was a weird night.
Rosalie
put it mildly.
Is on line five. The Big Finish continues. Rosalie, good morning.
Good morning. My comment question is, why is North Carolina so backward about our voting and our voting counting? We are still the only state that is not held accountable for where our votes are and how many there are. That is so disappointing, especially I am a 31-year educator. And I pride myself on voting, And what good did it do this year? Because we're still holding back to say what we've done.
Well, there's no excuse for the Elections Board not announcing Tom Tillis and others. I mean, there's just no excuse for it.
Line number one, Ryan in Charlotte is on the Big Finish.
By the way, the governor controls the Election Board appointments, just to let you know.
Ryan, what's going on?
Yes, sir. Good morning. Love y'all's show. I was just wondering if anybody had a total tally on mail-in votes versus in-person versus absentee.
I do not, and that's what North Carolina is not releasing. North Carolina already knows how many of the ballots that were received and not mailed back in, but those people went ahead and voted. They have those numbers, and they're not releasing them, and I don't know why. It's just ridiculous.
I think we can get one more here. Hunter in Charlotte, you're the final call on the Big Finish, brought to you by RugSource. Hello, Hunter.
Hey, Pat. How's it going?
Fine, Hunter. Is this the Hunter Biden?
No, not quite. No, thank God, not quite. Hey, Pat, man, I don't even know what to say, man. I'm so happy
you threw him off.
I don't necessarily agree with everything you say sometimes, but, man, I just want to tell you, my girlfriend, her whole family, a whole slew of them came over from Mexico legally, and they are all huge, huge Trump supporters now.
Thank you, man. It's great hearing from Hunter Biden.
That's right.
I thought that was pretty cool, the last call from Hunter. Hey, we don't take any of you for granted. It's the world. It's
the end of the world as we
know it. It's the end of the world as we know it.
And we are live.
God bless every one of you. We don't take you for granted. We'll see you tomorrow.
Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench, everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake. It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 Central on CBS.
Monday, it's the CBS original comedy, The Neighborhood.
I need at least a month to prepare for a debate, not 6 hours.
Actually, it's 4 hours.
Now my watch is broken, too.
With Cedric the Entertainer, Max Greenfield, and guest star Wayne Brady.
You gotta fund the schools or graduate fools.
That stole all my lines.
Look, don't worry, I got a plan.
Okay, well, what is it?
Okay, so I don't have a plan.
A new episode of The Neighborhood.
You're gonna have to give them a show.
Monday, 8, 7 Central on CBS.